Hi, and welcome to the Redcast. I'm your host, Eric Lanin. Today, we're going to be talking with JJ Thole, the Interactive Marketing Manager at Cambria, and we'll be discussing sales enablement and how they scale their marketing. Welcome, everyone. I have JJ with us, and I think it'd be good for you to introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. JJ Thole. I work as an Interactive Marketing Manager with Cambria.
Cool. And what are some of the things that you're kind of responsible for?
Yeah, our team is responsible for everything from website management, and there's many of those, email marketing, search engine marketing, app development, all kinds of things that relate to the digital interactive space. And we team very closely with our social media team. So we have a pretty robust group, smart group.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. So today's conversation is going to be about sales enablement. And I want to frame that around some of the work that you do with the galleries at Cambria and some of the field reps that you guys work directly with.
Yeah.
And maybe it might be helpful to kind of describe kind of what that, you know, framework looks like at Cambria.
Yeah. So Cambria is, just so everyone that is listening and watching is aware, Cambria is a manufacturer of quartz surfaces, most commonly used in a countertop. So like for kitchen or a bathroom vanity. Also used very commonly in commercial space. So for the local Minnesotans, the Viking Stadium, the Twin Stadium, Target Center, all kinds of, and those are obviously just, you know, well-known landmarks, but other commercial spaces throughout the cities and of course nationally, and we're expanding our international presence. Use Cambria for beautiful natural looking stone surfaces. It is a natural product. It's just it's controlled and produced down in our plant in southern Minnesota, Le Sueur. And so we have a route to market very similar to a car dealership. You're not going to buy a truck directly from Ford. You're going to go to a Ford dealer. Well, in the majority of cases, Cambria heavily relies on our dealer partners, retailers, to help get our product to the end user, most commonly a homeowner, but also, like I said, kind of a lot of other commercial spaces.
Sure.
And so, you know, we rely heavily on a field of market reps, our salespeople, to make sure that our dealers and our retailers are taken care of. They're given the right material, they're given the right training about what makes Cambria product, you know, the Cambria product different and sets us apart. And then we also have in some key markets of ours, we have actual gallery locations. So we have a couple in downtown Minneapolis and a few in other kind of key markets like Southern California, San Francisco, Toronto. So kind of key areas for us where we also have fabrication facilities that allow an end user to really go and see and experience the product.
Sure.
It's one of those products that you don't buy, you know, every so often. You know, a kitchen remodel happens, you know, every 8 to 10 years for a homeowner. So at that point in time, you might be considering, you know, a stone surface, and we hope that Cambria comes up at that point in time. But we want to make sure that people can get a good sense of what the product is and what it looks like, and that's where we have galleries, and we heavily, of course, rely on our retailers.
Awesome. So with some of the things you're producing to enable, you know, the galleries to invite people into the galleries to drive that foot traffic, but then also the assets and tactics that you enable the sales team with, what are some of those things that you're producing?
Yeah. So sales enablement for Cambria really spans, I think, a wide gamut. What I think a lot of people are probably used to hearing is that let's provide the right data and information to our salespeople at the right point in time, right? And that's kind of the obvious thing. And it's a challenge. That's an ongoing challenge that I don't think we'll ever fully solve.
And right? I don't think any organization really kind of get to that point, because it's always, by the time you figure out you solved it, it's already changed.
Okay, what's our new problem?
Yep.
Right? And so I think, you know, trying to make sure that our salespeople have good, accurate information at the right point in time is obviously a key for us. Same thing goes with, you know, our teams at galleries that are aiding consumers, right? We're trying to extend that and be even more of a partner with our retailers and try to provide them with additional information on our end users, our homeowner customers. But at the same time, we're also trying to empower customers, the end user, right? which I think is for a business like ours, which has, you know, we're heavily reliant on our retailers and our dealers to support Cambria and represent Cambria in the right way. We're trying to find ways that we can also make sure that that homeowner can understand the beauty and the benefit of Cambria. So we're trying to also create tools for them. So we're, you know, one example is we created an augmented reality app where we could change the, you know, through our phone, we could change the look of this table in front of us and put Cambria product on top of it, right? That's a great way for our, not only our end users, the homeowner, to see the beauty of the product in their own home, but it also helps our retailers and our dealers to say, hey, if you haven't checked this app out here, look, let's go see what this Cambria product's gonna look like in your house, right? So one of our goals of the team is to try to continue to find new ways to encourage our dealers and our consumers to work together, collaborate together, which in my eyes helps sell our product. Right,
you're making it both easier for sales, but you're also making it easier for customers. And I think that's sometimes a challenge that some organizations run into is this is the way that we sell. If you don't like the way we sell, sorry. And it's we in a lot of organizations they remove that empowerment, kind of what you mentioned, away from the salespeople to say, hey, you know, you do what you want. It's like going to, you know, a branded dealership or an independent one. In an independent dealership buying a car, you will be given the keys that you want and you go out. The salesperson won't be with you, and it's like, let me know what you think.
Right.
Versus, you know,
those are the fun experiences, right?
Yeah.
You control it.
Yep. And it's like you get to, you know, become one with the car, so to speak. Whereas another dealer, it's, no, I'm going to ride along with you. This is a brand new car, and I want to talk about all the features and benefits, and it's very stale.
Right.
Versus, they can have that sales pitch, but in their own way.
Right. No, I totally agree. I think the, you know, the car analogy for us, I think, always will make sense. And it's one thing that we're also trying to do is make sure that the experience that someone has, whether they're at an actual Cambria location like our galleries, or they're at a Cambria partner, a Cambria dealer, that experience at least has some semblance of consistency.
And
what's great about Cambria is that our leadership believes in the power of marketing, the power of a brand experience.
Wow, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the reasons that I was that I enjoy, you know, working for Cambria is that there is a belief that the brand stands for something, right? And if we, you know, if we continue to create the right kind of brand experiences, it'll trickle down through the rest of our channels.
Yep.
So one of our challenges, of course, keeping some semblance of consistency, and we really have a smart team doing that. That's not my team. But we have a really smart team making sure that our partners kind of look at the market in the same way that we do.
And have the same message, the same voice, all that stuff.
Right. And have all the tools that we are creating for them, you know, and are fully trained up and aware of them.
Yeah. And you have a pretty large team, so trying to make that scalable is probably difficult. So I think it'd be good to kind of hear about some of the challenges of, okay, how do you drive that consistency across multiple networks? Because you have partners. You know, you have influencers in the market, you have your sales team, and then you have your galleries.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
It is. And they don't always represent Cambria as a first reference. They don't always work for Cambria. They may be, you know, representing other products as well.
Well, and that's one of our challenges, of course, right? If you think about, let's say you were going to remodel your home and you wanted to go and meet with someone that can help you remodel that. Well, they're going to represent a multitude of products. And we want to make sure that they're representing Cambria well, and anyone that has interest in Cambria has the, you know, has the right type of experience, sees the Cambria product in the right way. But we also want to make sure we can track that.
Oh, and that's tough because that's one data point. And then all those data points that one person has.
And we often find that the first experience that someone has with Cambria is not because of something that we are doing at Cambria. It's because they went and talked to someone that sells Cambria, right? And so one of our challenges is making sure that we've just got the right data, and have the right data that we can have some sort of actionable insight from. So getting our partners, of course, to understand why that data is important to us, and trust us with that information, because it will only benefit them is definitely a challenge that we're in the process of overcoming.
The what's in it for me part of
right.
it. Right. Because you are asking them to do more work, but it's, you know, for the greater good of the partner and Cambria, because right. now we have a cleaner picture of what's actually happening.
Right, right. So, you know, one of the challenges is really, I think, an understanding of the mutual benefit of marketing together, right? You scratch our back, we'll scratch your back,
yeah.
you know, that mentality. Whereas if you share information with us, we're not gonna use that to change the opportunity that you have in front of you. No, we want to help and aid you in that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, when we know about those opportunities, let's find more of them.
Right.
Right? Help us so that Cambria can help target more mm-hmm. and find you more opportunities to sell Cambria so that we're all successful together. So I think the people alignment is always going to be a challenge.
Yep.
There's always new people that are introduced. Re-education and training that needs to take place, whether
yep.
that's at Cambria, within our partners and dealers, or elsewhere. So the people and making sure that everyone's got the same message and understands the message is obviously a challenge. I would say another challenge that we have is focus, right? And we live in an ADD world. Where's
yeah.
my phone? I got to check it.
Yeah.
But the focus on, all right, here's the problem we're going to solve right now, and we'll move on to the next thing, right? I think it's very easy to get trapped in wanting to boil the ocean.
Totally.
We have all these problems to solve. What's
yep.
our silver bullet?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not realistic. And it gets you frustrated, and it takes a long, long time if you ever get there.
Yep.
So I would say focusing on small wins, small progress, and thinking of progress over perfection. It's a tough one for people to get.
It is, because, like you said, boiling the ocean just for perfection's sake isn't necessarily going to be yielding the same results. It's
right.
And as a personal belief, I believe in the 80-20 rule. It's like, if you can get 80% of what you need and save yourself, you know, a lot of complexity to get something implemented or a process in place, yes, it's not perfect, but it does the majority of the job. And that 20% there is the nice to haves. They're not a need to have to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're focusing on getting work done, as a greater whole, you're benefiting the organization, but you're not necessarily, you know, winning everyone's hearts and minds
sure.
over. It's like, oh, it's perfect, it's seamless. It's like, well, you wasted all that effort
right.
on something that's not value add
right.
in comparison to what the other things that you were working
right,
on.
Right. Well, and the value add is I'm gonna use it in a different way, right? The speed and I guess expectations that people have nowadays, especially as it relates to technology,
totally, yep.
Is something that needs to be managed.
Mm-hmm.
The expectation that, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to spend and invest in technology to help us do that. When can we have that done? By, you know, next week?
Uh-huh.
And which is, I think, a great approach to say, let's do it fast, right? But that needs to be met with a bit of reality.
Because you can do it fast, you can do it cheap,
yeah.
or you can do it right. You can only pick a couple of those. If
right.
you want to do all three, it's going to be long. It's
right.
going to be expensive.
Right.
So
right.
a lot of considerations.
Of course, of course. And so, you know, one thing that I actually hear quite a bit from our leaders is let's fail forward fast. Right.
Mm.
And that's a adage that a lot of people have used.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the tech world.
Failing is scary.
It is scary, but if you're doing it because you have got the right intent
mm-hmm.
and you can do it quickly to learn from your mistakes and,
totally.
And pivot, it's a hard concept for people to grasp overall, just because nobody wants to say, oh yeah, we failed on that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot easier for people in the tech world to say, all right, we changed this and it didn't work. We're going to pivot or shift and do
mm-hmm.
that. But what's great about you know, Cambria and what the leadership has set up there is it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is truly okay if you're failing and you're doing it because you tried something new, but it was for the right reasons, of course.
Totally.
Right.
And you do have the opportunity with, you know, trying to enable in the context of sales enablement, you don't need to deploy this new idea or tactic or strategy across the whole organization
yeah.
right away. You can, you know, identify a couple champions
yep.
that want to try it out, and then you can learn from that, iterate, and then deploy once you've, you know, found some traction.
Absolutely. In fact, we're just, you know, we're piloting a bunch of different things with some of our best partners, right? Better ways to share information on consumers. So we want to find better ways to generate information on consumers and share that with our partners. But to do that at a grand scale is daunting. To do it with key select partners that we know can perform when we provide them information makes a ton more sense.
Totally.
It's more digestible, not only for the business, but for our partners, right? It makes them feel good too to say, like, we're going to test this out with you guys.
And
if it works,
they're recognizing me that I'm producing for Cambria, and they're willing to, you know, try something new with me.
Right, right. They're willing to try and change the way that we are operating to see if we can't make something better. So yeah, failing fast, or at least trying and piloting and testing things quickly, you know, just to get away from the word failure, because nobody likes to do that. But, you know, testing things, trying things, being willing to change the way that we operate to, you know, for the betterment, ideally, of the business, of revenue.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Is something that Cambria, I think, does a really good job of at least enabling, right? There's a culture there that helps enable that. And then the other thing that I was going to mention is, you know, challenges is resources, right? We've got all these people.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to make sure that all these people are aligned and are singing the same tune. But to change that, or to influence that, all those people, the change management behind it. Not only that, but the actual work that needs to get done. You know, we're all crazy busy, and to add more work to our plate doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to help, you know, we're going to do something right or do it well or do it quickly. So finding the appropriate resources, whether they're internal or external, like when we worked with you guys, you know, it's definitely a challenge, but, you know, one that I think can be quickly overcome when you kind of take a look at the grand scheme of things and say, all right, where are we actually and how are we actually going to do this?
Yep. And it's, I think a lot of organizations struggle that it's, we need to do this internally. We need to own everything. And I think in a lot of ways that's very true. I mean, a lot of people have the best intent because it's our brand. We want to protect it. And Redpath went through that same discussion as, do we own our internal marketing? You know, we're a small consulting firm of 30 people. So do we really develop our own marketing team? And for my personal growth with trying to be that marketing expert for our organization, it's been, I don't need to be doing all the content marketing, the development of our website, the social parts of it. And we found that partnering with people that are experts in those fields, it's the same thing as, you know, hiring someone for content marketing, a person who's a web developer. Right. But for our organization, we don't need an entire team because we don't produce a lot of content. And my belief is, you know, it's about producing the right content than volumes.
Right.
But that aside, is we partnered with another company that does all of our content marketing. And it's been a huge lift off my plate. I still own the strategy, which the strategy should always remain within the organization.
For sure.
But it can be executed through other partners as long as you're setting the expectations. Right. Kind of what you're going back to is, as long as we're setting the expectations of how the work should be produced and in the context of what it needs to be, what the end result is, it's an efficiency gain.
Right. No, I totally agree with that. And you know, the other aspect of working with a partner is that usually it can be done quicker then.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's their sole focus.
And then you can blame them. When they're not doing it right.
Yeah, when the fail fast happens. Then we failed because they didn't do it right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that happens more often than I'd probably like to admit. Not at Cambria, but I experienced it in many aspects of my career prior.
But you know what to look for, though. And you know, in a way, you become a little bit of that project manager, which isn't always, you know, a fun role, but it's I think, easier to sculpt a vendor or partner or an internal resource to kind of be set those expectations correctly. But then again, it's also, you want to let them be their own creative spirit
for
and let them kind of run with it.
Right. There's a reason that there are agencies and consulting firms in the world.
Totally.
Right?
Yep.
They have a level of expertise that is hard to hire and maintain internally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've found that when we hire and we work with the right vendors, it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out project.
Mm-mm.
It can be a quick hit here and there and continue to build if things are going well. And if not, it affords us the opportunity to say, okay, maybe this wasn't the right direction.
Sure.
And it's not necessarily that our vendor didn't perform. It's not necessarily that we had the wrong strategy. We just found out that maybe this wasn't the right thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't the right time. For example, that augmented reality app I was talking about earlier, we found that it struck a really awesome chord with people because the timing of it was perfect. Apple came out with their augmented reality technology. We were right on board with it.
Perfect.
We had the idea 2.5 years prior.
Oh, wow.
But there was no way to actually execute at scale because you would have to rely on other technologies that weren't inherent to your mobile device.
Yeah, it wasn't native to it.
Right. Yeah. So while, yeah, we could have invested and probably invested more because the technology wasn't scalable, we'd have to figure out ways to scale it and really train consumers on what this was and what it meant and how to use it. Timing played a huge role in it. And we can say that in hindsight because we obviously didn't execute at the you know, previous, you know, few years before the Apple came out with that technology, but, you know, the timing was right.
That's awesome.
So yeah, there's a lot. I guess there's a lot of variables that play it there, huh?
Oh, of course. So let's talk a little bit about what progress looks like.
Yeah.
And you talked a little bit about like identifying quick wins, and it's, you know, sometimes you don't want to say like we were successful at all these very large projects, and you know, you may have a large project, but it may have a lot of milestones within it that you can claim as kind of a quick win.
Yeah.
So what are the things that you're doing to, you know, identify those milestones that you're accomplishing from a marketing standpoint and as an organization?
I think the pilots in the test work that we do to make sure that whatever work, the strategic direction that we're headed, do these tactics fit, I think are great ways for us to measure progress and have milestones that say, okay, our dealer partners really, really appreciated the work that we did to help to drive more consumers or customers to their door, right? And customers that they knew had a project, not just someone that was stopping in because they watched HGTV and really liked what Chip and Joanna Gaines were doing. I don't even know if they're on that channel. But, you know, having pilot programs where we can truly measure the benefit before we scale, I think, are things that show great progress, show quick wins. And also afford us, you know, the luxury of doing more in that path if it makes sense.
And it allows you to innovate and tweak and tailor before you get to a final product.
You learn more when you start small and it makes it easier to make those changes. The other thing that I'd say overall is something that's not necessarily measurable, but you can feel it in the culture, is just a change in overall mindset.
Sure.
Right? You execute on something that you think makes sense and it shows, you know, a return. It may not be the most fantastic thing, but there's promise there. And you can see the mindset set and the excitement that people can kind of get on board with that.
Yep.
So in some of the pilot programs that we've been working on around lead generation, and generating leads to our partners, we've really seen a change in the way that people approach their programs. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so we have, you know, a sports marketing group. We have a channel marketing group. Obviously, I mentioned our social media team, and you can see the shift in mindset as you know, our department and our team is really trying to lead that path for generating more leads for Cambria and Cambria's partners. You can see the way that you can hear the way the conversation changes. You can see the way that their programs are evolving to align with that work. So not necessarily something that's fully, you know,
where you have, you know, the full gamut of data to support,
right.
You know, here's the ROI of it. We've been able to proof it out.
Right.
It's validated.
Right.
And sometimes you're right. You know, it's gut instinct, but I think that's where leadership can kind of drive that insight from. I sense that it's kind of like digging or panning for gold in a certain way. It's, you know, sometimes you get a couple flakes and it's, okay, are these, you know, flakes that are going to lead me into a gold mine, or is it just a fluke?
Yeah.
So I think it would be good to share, you know, maybe an example of kind of what are some of these pilots that programs that you are working on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've changed, you know, we know a lot of consumers visit the Cambria's website monthly, and we're driving more and more volume there. But just getting volume to our website doesn't sell product, right? And, you know, one of the challenges that I mentioned earlier was making sure that we can have a mutual sharing of data between Cambria and our partners. So one of the things that we've been piloting, it may seem pretty obvious and basic in the grand scheme of the world of marketing nowadays, but we've been piloting the process that it would take us to deliver consumers that want Cambria directly to our best dealers,
mm-hmm.
right? And the learnings have been supremely valuable. Not only knowing the, you know, the amount, and if we were to try to turn a dial here, what it might do for us, turn a dial down there, what it might do for us. But it's actually, it's transpired into kind of a change in the way that I think our sales leadership thinks about marketing.
Hmm.
And our sales leadership thinks about the relationship that our sales team has with their, you know, their partners, their dealers,
yep.
their retailers, and their market, where it becomes more of a collaborative effort as opposed to, hey, I just want to make sure you got everything you need for Cambria.
Sure.
Right?
It's like, oh, just saying hi. It's like, well, is that value add, you're just checking in? It's,
and that's, you know, the checking in and the relationship building,
mm-hmm.
that's an enormous part of sales.
Oh, absolutely.
But to be able to bring business
yep.
to your partners, and to show them additional value beyond what we've done
mm-hmm.
so far, really kind of changes the relationship and the dynamic that someone has with Cambria.
And I think that's an important thing to note, is you're creating a two-way street versus a one-way
yeah.
street. I've seen a lot of partnerships not necessarily fail, but struggle to be mutually benefiting,
mm-hmm.
where it's, I have to produce work for you, but it does not necessarily add value to my business.
Right.
You're identifying that this is a two-way street for us, where the more I put into it, the more you get out of it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. And because of it, we get out of it,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, so and that wasn't
simple.
Overly specific of an example, but it's something that, you know, it was new to Cambria, and it definitely has changed mindset, which is, I think, one of the biggest hurdles there is, right? Getting over the "this is the way we've always done it" mentality.
Totally.
What is that? The
Just
seven most expensive words in business, right?
All right.
It really has opened the doors for people to say, like, hey, what if we just, you know, what if we change this program just slightly so that we could also
mm-hmm.
kind of get to where you guys are going with this, you know, lead gen for our partners.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a great program that we've been developing, and I think we'll just be continuing. We'll continue to scale it and test things out here and there. It's been fun.
Cool. So I kind of want to end it with, what is some of the advice that you may want to offer someone that is struggling with any, you know, part of their sales enablement
yeah.
strategy, whether it's, you know, all the way from the inception of an idea from
right.
the marketing side to the delivery through sales, or vice versa, getting that feedback to marketing where it's, hey, this is a great idea, but it just does not work.
Yeah, yeah. I would say the place that we always start with is, what data do we have? What do we know? What don't we know? And how can we better understand what we don't know, right? Make decisions based on data if you can, and if not, start talking to people. Tell them your plan, tell them a story about how that plan will work, and get their input. Our sales team has been invaluable as far as helping us understand at what points in time we need to try and be there and interject.
Hmm.
And at what points in time it may not make sense for us. They've also been, you know, really great about delivering us information back on the data we're generating on individuals that want to buy Cambria,
mm-hmm.
and whether or not that's actually valuable, right? At what point in time does someone that's remodeling their home need to have a conversation about what their countertop may be, right? Or someone that's remodeling their bathroom, you know, if they want to put Cambria in their shower, which is really cool, by the way.
I'm sure.
Personal goal there. You know, how far in advance do they need to have those conversations and
mm-hmm.
decisions, right? So identify which data you have and how that's, you know, what story it's telling you, what data you're missing, and see if there's ways to try and find it. That can
sure.
be a challenge, of course, right? I would say identify where your quickest win, your quickest value add may be, right? Maybe at the beginning of the funnel, maybe at the end of the funnel. Work with your sales team,
mm-hmm.
work with other marketers to identify, if we were to increase the number of people we had at this moment in time, would that trickle down into more revenue? So I would say start with data, make decisions based on it as best you can. If not, talk to the people that are selling it.
Mm-hmm.
In our case, that also includes our dealers and our retailers, right?
So it sounds like, you know, keeping a seat available for sales.
Oh, they've got to have a seat at the table
yep.
at all times.
Yep. And it's, I think a lot of organizations struggle with that, not because that they don't feel that they need it. It's we got it. We got it under control. Yeah, yeah. It's like, thanks for the information. We're just going to go into our little marketing cave and, right, you know, pound out some stuff and we'll come back. It's sales needs to be part of that development. And as you're iterating that stuff, it's, you know, reconfirming. And sometimes, you know, sales gets it wrong and sometimes marketing gets it wrong.
Another invaluable resource in that regard has been our customer service team. You know, we've got a great team that mans the phones, responds via social, and of course email, and pretty much any other way that you can get in touch with somebody, right? But it's amazing how many people will just call Cambria and ask questions. And the amount of data that our customer service team has that can tell a great story about what kind of fears do people have when they're remodeling, right? What kind of issues do they have that we might be able to market them with other tools or resources or information to either alleviate that fear or empower that, you know, interest, whatever it may be. So it's kind of like a tag team of marketing and sales and IT and customer service. And I'm sure I'm missing other people in, you know, in that group. But when we get the entire group to the table and have open dialogue about the problems we're solving and how we can best get there, the ability to actually make change is so much greater.
And I think a lot of organizations struggle with, well, why should IT be in this conversation?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't see the value of them being part of it. You know, people get very protective of, no, this is my project. I don't want them to be playing in my sandbox. And I think it's a natural defense mechanism that everyone will always have. And it's just let them talk or let them just sit in to listen.
If not, you know, if not for anything but just visibility, right?
We're being open with you because we want to be working with you. Once you create those silos, and I think any organization that's, you know, much larger that has those natural barriers, which is not necessarily created out of desire, like no one likes silos, but they just naturally happen because it's, this is my work and this is what I was given to do and I'm going to do it. And then once I'm done, I'm going to go to the next project. And that's, you know, you got your head down. You don't really kind of look up and pop up. It's, I think a lot of organizations, you know, marketing, sales, the rest of, you know, IT, the support resources need to, you know, understand what the organization does.
Right. And it gets more challenging the larger business is, right? You're either in separate locations or, you know, you don't know exactly who to go to. You know, I guess the Cambria example may be different, but there's really been an emphasis put on collaboration. Not only within our own marketing department, but cross-department collaboration. That it starts with leadership saying, hey, we have to make this a priority. And it's easy to say. It's much, much harder to practice. But, you know, if you can open the doors and share your plans with people, it's quite amazing to see what they can add to it, whether it's actual resources to help you execute, which is always a great thing, or it's just, all right, you need to be careful of this and you need to be careful of that, and when you get to that point, let us know and we'll help with, you know, whatever it is. It's opening up and sharing plans.
And it's also creating a culture to be more willing to help than, you know, hey, I got a project for you, go do it. It's like, hey, you know, I have some good ideas on that. Let's let's chat. And just creating that culture of collaboration. But that desire to help above and beyond what is kind of what your department or your team is responsible for. It's, you know, we create those natural walls where it's over on your side, not my problem anymore.
And of course, there's a natural salesmanship that comes with, you know, those types of collaborative meetings, right, where you're really trying to push for the yes and conversation and then the no buts. But, you know, overall, if you're opening up the gates and opening up the doors, it definitely has been helpful.
Cool. Well, I appreciate the conversation, JJ.
Yeah, it was fun.
We'll catch you guys next time. Cheers. We hope you enjoyed this episode about sales enablement. If you want to find more of our discussions, you can go to YouTube, iTunes, or Stitcher. And as always, please subscribe.